Mickey, mind you, I do not see any harm in going into a pub and having a drink, but some people just sit there all night and get drunk. That's no good at all. It doesn't do them any good physically, mentally, or morally, and they meet the wrong people quite often, do not they? Self, they do. By the way, Mickey, do you remember any of your former incarnations? Mickey, oh, vaguely. I'm not very interested. After all, it's done, ain't it? You've gone through it, you've experienced it, you've learned a lot, or at least I hope you have. It's played its part, it's had its purpose, and I can't see much point in going back on it. To me, it is going forward that matters. Self, I agree with you absolutely, but at the same time I think it is helpful to see the road one has traveled over the centuries. Mickey, you're quite a case you are. You've changed a lot. But you was never as narrow-minded as some people, was you? Your husband had firm views about religion, hadn't he? Self, not during the years I knew him. Douglas, hello. What is Mickey saying about me? Self, that you had firm fixed views. Douglas, I think they were firm in a sense, but it is true that I became a little more, shall we say, open-minded, during the last years of my life. Even so, I still clung to the Christian faith. Self, yes, of course, Douglas, and I think that Christian faith, Christian knowledge I prefer to call it, when it is properly understood and applied, is a wonderful thing, it is the thing. But I do not have a narrow conception now as so many people do. I have changed my views in some ways, but I cling to the fundamental truth of Christianity. Self, have you discovered any new link in your incarnations, dear? Douglas, yes. It was always there, but I could not recapture the memory of much of it. There is no doubt about it, I had an incarnation at the time of Christ. At that time I was just an ordinary humble peasant. I was one of many, many thousands of people who witnessed the crucifixion. You must remember, of course, that crucifixion and many other things were common, and one did not take it quite in the same way that one would now. When you are born and bred and brought up in a certain condition of life, you become acclimatized, and accept many things as normal and natural. But it is appalling to think about it now. I was one of many who were puzzled, to say the least, about Christ. Many people were interested and impressed to a certain extent, but they were never convinced, in his day and age, that he was God. No one accepted the fact that he was what he claimed to be or, more correctly, what others claim for him. To us, Jesus was just an ordinary but very enlightened man, in some ways rather a man we did not understand. And when you do not understand a person, you are inclined to build up certain prejudices and fears concerning him. The things that Jesus was able to achieve made some people look on him as a magician. It is extraordinary the effect he had on 80 at the time of Christ people in different ways. I was neither for, nor against. I thought the whole business of crucifixion was appalling in his case. Self, what nationality were you? Douglas, I was a Jew, but only an ordinary peasant. I had no place or position. I was a man who was as strict as any in my religious beliefs and accepted everything without question, as we all did more or less. Jesus was quite different from what has often been depicted. I know, from what I have been told and from what I remember myself, that he was a man any of the pictures that one not a weak, almost effeminate indeed, dark and swarthy, and of striking appearance, nothing like sees so commonly on earth. He was type of person, but was very rugged, very Jewish in appearance. He was definitely, from our point of view, a man with strong religious convictions and a strong, powerful and compelling personality. Many of us thought that he was political as well as religious, and that is why I think some Jewish people followed him. They thought he was going to rid earth, not in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense of freeing them from the Roman yoke. The people looked upon him for a time as a leader and did think it is purely on these lines that the Romans were afraid of him. They saw him as a man who was creating a lot of disturbance politically. I do not think for one moment it was the religious aspect that worried them. They could not care tuppence about that. But people clamored round him, and the Romans thought this was going to be a political organization, and a powerful one at that if it were allowed to continue, and I think they were very glad to get rid of Herrn. Self, do you think that in time we may have decisive proof of reincarnation? Douglas, it is feasible. Of course I think it is always going to be a very difficult thing to prove. For instance, one may, by communication like this, prove one's identity by references to past events and circumstances appertaining to oneself and one's family. One can prove one's survival after so-called death, but to prove one's living upon Earth centuries ago is much more difficult. Self, if you can think of any way of doing so, will you let me know? Douglas, it is possible, but I do not quite know how. I suppose, 81, for instance, that if one could prove that certain manuscripts that one may have written are still in existence and had never been discovered, and could point to their discovery, that would be proof, wouldn't it? Self, I think so. Douglas, but in my case there is no such thing. There was a very big fire in the monastery where I was and a lot of things were destroyed. Self, that was a very interesting incarnation. After a pause, can you tell me more about yourself, your home, and your surroundings where you are now, in the spirit world? Douglas, it is very important for people to realize that this world of ours is a very real world, not an ethereal world or a wishy-washy affair. It is a solid world in which everything around and about us is solid and real, and our bodies to all account and purpose are as solid as the conditions under which we live. There is nothing ethereal in the sense that we are transparent or something like that. We do not need, as you do, air to breathe. As I have said, our bodies have a solidity of their own and are as real as yours, and the ground on which we walk, and we can walk, is as real as ourselves. But, of course, we are referring to a world which by its very nature is much more highly evolved, and far beyond the range and the conditions of Earth. It is a rarefied environment without the lesser or the distressing aspects of materialism. We have no aches or pains. It is as if you were to take all the nicest and loveliest things in Earth life, add to those other experiences and aspects of life beyond your knowledge, and combine the two into a perfect whole. We create for ourselves the very environment in which we exist and our bodies respond to that condition in a natural and automatic manner. I do not think one can ever explain this, but try to realize that thought, which is productive and creative here, makes it possible for us to experience and enjoy life in every sense. It is the powerful thought force which nourishes the body, it is the food by which we live. We look much the same as we did on Earth. In fact, I think we look identical except that we do not look old, we revert to youth. But that again is partially something from within ourselves. It is a consciousness and awareness of self in the higher sense. Beauty reigns in so far as everywhere one looks there is beauty. I think the only places where one would find ugliness would be on the lower planes which are nearer Earth and are, to a great extent, created by the thought forces of undeveloped souls. Fundamentally, everything is created by the very power of thought and the desire for things which are necessary, but these things do not just happen by thinking. There are substances that are drawn from the matter or condition of life in which we live, and these substances we can use for construction. We have artisans, and people who are capable of building and designing, and there are many styles of buildings, according to the individual's outlook or idea of things. That is why on some spheres you have architecture which is very typical of the Tudors, while another will be very Grecian in appearance. In fact, in the more highly evolved spheres of existence the buildings are possibly more of a Grecian type. Self, what architectural style is your house, dear? Douglas, I suppose you would call it a Georgian type of house. It is quite small. You seem disappointed. Self, no, not at all. Now tell me about the garden. Douglas, that is small but pleasant and has many flowers. And there is a man I have great regard for who cares for the garden and whose chief delight is the garden. But there again, there is not the same kind of work involved as there would be with a garden on Earth. There are not the seasons in the same sense as you understand it. Flowers here bloom continuously and you have all manner of flowers, many that you never see on earth. But you must not think that because there is not the work and the effort, as you understand it in a material sense, there is little or nothing to do. Things just do not grow entirely without effort. In other words, there is effort put into it by the mentality of the individual who loves and cares for a garden here, but it is not a physical thing. There are gardens over here that have weeds, these are caused by the individual concerned. For instance, one of the sure signs of an undeveloped soul here is the fact that they may live in an environment which is not necessarily unpleasant, to them it is probably quite pleasant, and yet they may have a garden that is full of weeds. These weeds, in a sense, are their thoughts which have never evolved and developed on the right lines. As you live and as you think, so you are and so you create. Many flowers are the thoughts of an individual striving to be beautiful, 83, but because of certain lack of beauty or defects in his nature there is a certain amount of weed and undergrowth of various kinds, and a great deal which prevents the beauty that might exist. One of the surest indications of a person's character is the condition under which he exists and, if he has a garden, by its conditional state. At one time I lived in a community building, a vast building in which there were many people, all living in a kind of communal state which was very pleasant. But now I have this small but pleasant replica of a Regency or Georgian house. It is very attractive and I am sure you would like it. In fact I know you do because you have been here during your sleep state, but you do not remember anything about it, unfortunately, in your waking moments. Self, are you near a city? Douglas, yes. But I find all this very confusing because when we talk about cities, we naturally think of cities in England and elsewhere. There are cities, of course, which are on plains near Earth, and they are in some senses similar. But as you progress you enter into a different sphere, which you have created and you are partly responsible for, though other people living there have also played their part. The point is, you are living in a community which can be, if you like, a city. But it is without many of the trappings of a city life as you understand it. For instance, there are no buses. There is no need for transport. We can transport ourselves from one place to another by thought. We have no inclement weather. The weather here is permanently pleasant, and yet there is no sun as such. There is little or no shadow here. Now you may think it very difficult to appreciate a world in which there is no shadow, indeed some that without shadow you cannot have any real is no shadow in the sense that you understand there is no sun rising and sinking. There is a kind of twilight condition which people would say beauty, but there the term because does give us some change, and that is the period when, if we wish, we can rest, and we sometimes do. Although shadows as such do not exist here, that does not mean that everything is stark and brilliant. There is a softness and a beauty of light here which is so pleasant. We have none of the darkness and none of the heaviness that you get, nor do we have changes of climate and atmosphere as you understand them. Yet we never tire of it because it is always pleasing, and we feel the warmth although there is no heat as such. It is very difficult 84 at the time of Christ to explain how we live in a world which is, in so many ways, so totally unlike yours and yet, according to the plane on which you live of course, can be so very similar. The planes nearer Earth can be, and no doubt are, subject to the influence of the atmosphere around the Earth. As you are influenced by the atmosphere, so can we be if we are on certain spheres near Earth. These spheres have definite night and day because they are subject to the moon and the stars, etc. They are so close to the Earth that they can even be compared with the Earth. Indeed, in some senses they are replicas of the Earth and there are all nationalities living in communities under very ordinary conditions, not dissimilar to earthly ones. But when we move further out and become more evolved, more spiritualized, then we find ourselves in a changed environment. Words to depict or describe it become impossible. Are you coming again soon? Self, I hope so. Douglas, I look forward to this so much. Self, and so do I, dear. By the way, I have been wondering if you have met any of the great naturalists on your side. You were so fond of natural history. Douglas, yes, I have. You must always remember that as we have a human life, so we have a nature life. We have birds and we have many of the animals that you associate with life on your side. Of course, certain animals or certain forms of animal life no longer exist here, because they were undeveloped. They ceased to exist, if I can put it like that. But animals that have been close to humans and have taken part in human endeavors do exist here. Horses, dogs, and so on, especially when they have been closely associated with humans and have had love and affection showered upon them, are very much pets over here. Most people I have known who had pets on Earth find that they have them here too. They do not lose them through death, they gain more, in a sense, because animals can communicate with humans much more readily here, in a kind of mental way. We learn a lot from animals. They are part of the scheme of life and should have respect and regard. One should always have love and affection for them. And it is not only domesticated animals that exist here by any means, because there are many forms of animal life, which in their own fashion and their own way are quite developed. They have feeling and emotions and great understanding, even when on Earth. 85.self, what animals have you at present? You said you had several dogs. Douglas, yes, and several cats, and parrots, and birds of many kinds. Self, parrots. Douglas, yes, does that surprise you? Here they live in their natural state, and it is a great joy because the plumage of birds here is so wonderful. Of course it can be, and often is, on Earth, and I do love color. This is a world full of color, magnificent color, and many colors of which you have no knowledge. Sometimes I must try to give you a more detailed description, but it is extremely difficult. Self, a description of color? Douglas, of everything. Self, I should like that very much. Douglas, and although it may sound very mundane, may I wish you a very happy new year. I am hoping it will be, to some extent, a year of change. You may not particularly want it, but it will be good for you. I think you will yet change your abode. Anyway, she'll help you. Mickey, goodbye. Happy New Year, Auntie. Chapter 11, Spiritual Environments. Mickey, brightly, and what can I do for you? Self, tell me a little about your own setting in the spirit world, Mickey. Mickey, oh dear. That's a big hoarder. I spend such a lot of time with the medium and helping people on your side. Of course I do spend some time, as you understand it, over here. But until the medium packs up, until he's finished his work on Earth, like, I'm stationary. I chose the job myself, and am very happy in the work I do. But I do have my own environment in the spirit world. I'm in a lovely place which is very countrified, and yet in a way you could call it a town. Self, is it anything like a town on Earth? Mickey, different altogether. Here they ain't got traffic and noise. This is a different life, vastly different. It's so peaceful and quiet, so tranquil, there is beauty everywhere. Plenty of time, no rushing and tearing about, and we know we will be able to evolve and achieve without worrying too much. Of course we have to make an effort, otherwise life would be pointless. Everything requires concentration and effort, but there is such love and joy behind everything we do that it is a joy to live. I live in a community of people who have made a certain amount of progress. We have many interesting things, such as concerts and theaters and places where people gather together and have discussions, and take an interest in the community. We do not have parliaments or organized things like you do. Everything is run by goodwill. Everyone is automatically out to be of service with love in their hearts. Their whole desire is to do the best for all concerned, not thinking so much of self. Of course, one is concerned with self, one must be, but one doesn't have that uppermost in one's mind. Everyone is serving the community with the best of, 87, thought and intention, realizing that these are stepping stones to greater experiences. Self, you have no economic problems? Mickey, laughing, we've no need for money or banks over here. Here we work for love and experience, not for what we're going to get out of it in a material sense. Everything here must be done from spiritual desiring. Anyway, you do not want to talk to me all morning, do you? Self, I would like to hear Douglas too. Mickey, he knew you were coming and came with you, so, obviously, he's present, and visible to us. Douglas, Mickey could tell you a great deal of interest which would probably be, not necessarily different in its content, but from a different approach and attitude of mind. Everyone will give you their own realization and picturization of life as they know it and see it over here. Fundamentally, of course, all these things tie up, but there are many aspects of life which may vary according to the individual concerned. After all, not everyone coming from a great continent on your side will give you the same picture. They may be from an entirely different part of the continent, or their interests and their attitude of mind toward life may be different. You are bound to have diversity of opinion, even from this side. Self, you were going to try to give a more detailed picture of your own setting in spirit. Are your trees like ours? Douglas, yes. From the point of view of our surroundings, we have, as near as one can say, everything that is common to Earth, but not necessarily only from one country. All manner of trees exist ever here which normally you would not see, say, in England. There are natural settings familiar to all peoples when they come, so no one feels out of it. Everyone feels that this can be, and is, a happy existence and condition of life for them. It is a familiar one, too. We have all the varying degrees of setting, not only of trees and forests but of lakes and rivers and what you call mountainous country. But in appearance it is not necessarily identical to that on Earth, although in some senses it appears so. We have all that you associate with scenic grandeur and beauty on Earth, but much more that we could not begin to hope to describe. We do not till the soil because that is not necessary. There are all sorts of things which are necessary to us, and there are many things we do which have a definite purpose, but not many of their 88 things that one associated with Earth. Those things are purely material and they are not necessary over here. We grow flowers in as much as we tend them and give our love and affection to them, and watch them grow. I have never yet known a flower that has died here, although near Earth flowers do appear seasonally because they are subject to Earth conditions. But where I am, flowering shrubs and trees always seem to be permanently at their best. There is no dying off. Self, what do you do in this glorious environment? Douglas, appreciate it, of course. And I think it is our affection and our love for nature, for what we term nature, that keeps it ever flowering and ever beautiful. If a person has a beautiful garden, it is a garden which he himself has thoughtfully created. There is no physical effort needed, only a mental and spiritual one. But you can only create when your thoughts are right, when you yourself have made it possible by your actions and by your thoughts, not necessarily only on Earth, but over here too. There is always growth here, always the possibility of new thought and new aspects of truth to assimilate. All that exists, even though it is created by thought, is certainly a reality in that it has texture, it has shape, it has substance. But it may well be that when one leaves a particular sphere, to which one has been adjusted for so long, to go forth into new vibrations which one has earned or merited, then that which one leaves behind may cease to exist. I do not know for certain whether this is so or not, but I assume it could well be. One would like to think that one has left behind something of beauty for someone else to take up, and this may well be, but I have no proof that it is so. Nothing here is haphazard, everyone seems to get justice and consideration. Everything one has, everything one does, everything one becomes, must be made possible by one's own achievement and effort. On Earth you get all sorts of things which seem to be so unjust, and I suppose, in a sense, they are. But there again, one often has false values. It is true there are those who are blessed materially, that is, in a financial sense, and they may have what seems to the average person the best of everything, beautiful home, beautiful garden, opportunity to move about and to travel, and freedom of expression because they are in a position to do more or less what they wish. This may seem a blessing, but it is not necessarily so. 89. Sometimes it can be a drawback, and block the path of progress of an individual instead of making them more understanding, more thoughtful, more kind, more tolerant, more patient. Self, have you any special friends? Douglas, have many, many friends. Many new friends. Self, what do you do together? Douglas, we have interests in what you would term hobbies and sports. If a person wants to play tennis, he can play tennis. If a person wants to play billiards, he can play billiards. In fact, one can do the majority of things that one did on Earth in the way of sports, games and interests, and improve upon them. And there are other sports and games which we indulge in. But as I have often said to you, music plays a very important part in our lives, and very few people do not take an interest in music. Music speaks to us, it is a language. It is a vibrational sound which gives us a consciousness and an awareness of other spheres. Indeed, certain souls from other spheres do bring knowledge, and expressions of thought forces appertaining to their own lives to us through music. Music is a very important factor. We have what you would call great amphitheaters, and great open-air concerts. I say again, everything here has its meaning and its purpose. Nothing seems to be done just for the mere pleasure as such. Everything which happens to us, whether it is in concerts or conversation, in sports or interests, always has a purpose and a meaning, and something behind it which is helpful. There is no wasting. I was going to use the term time, but I do not think that really applies. We have an awareness of a kind of time, but not as you know it by the clock or the movement of the sun or moon or stars. These things do not apply. We have the realization of change, but not change as you understand it. It is a change which is ever there but is so subtle, it is a slight awareness of the meaningfulness of everything, and the purpose behind all we think or do. Try to realize above all that we live in a natural world, a real world, a purposeful world, a world of happiness and tranquility, and of ever-growing need for new ventures and new experiences which are always exciting, a world in which we are helped tremendously by souls from other spheres who bring knowledge to us through lectures, if you like, although that is a poor word. We are often given what you would call lessons, and yet it is, 90, not like going to school because it is too much of a happy event. This is something which happens automatically and naturally. We can be brought together in a community and shown, in the atmosphere, past events in history. In fact, one's own personal self can be involved in this, one can see past events in which oneself took part. These are all things which are registered and which can be drawn to one's consciousness by effort, and by the help of those who are experienced. Everything of any consequence that has ever happened to man is recorded in a most miraculous way, and one can learn from these experiences, and tap these sources in our consciousness. But these things take a lot of learning, a lot of understanding is needed to achieve it, and learn how to do it. We need help and we receive help, from highly advanced souls. Of course, the more highly evolved one becomes, obviously, the less necessary it is to draw on past experiences. One has adjusted oneself gradually to the realization of the life in which one finds oneself, and the past, which has contributed in a very important way over perhaps centuries, no longer has the same impact or pull. But if we want to, or feel it necessary to do so, we can tune into those conditions. Self, from what I have read, the higher reaches of the spirit world alarm me a little. Douglas, there is no reason why they should, because these things come upon us in such a slow way, and one has become mentally and spiritually adjusted over eons of time. One may be thousands of years on one plane, that is by your understanding of time. Nothing happens suddenly, everything is gradual adjustment. Self, as you pass from plane to plane, so to speak, do you die? Douglas, not in the same way that one would die on Earth. It is a losing of consciousness and then becoming aware of new conditions and surroundings. As far as I can gather, it certainly is not like a physical death. Perhaps sometime I may be able to find out more details. Self, I feel you are on the fourth sphere. Douglas, that may well be. This business of numbering spheres and calling them by names may be helpful for people on Earth to get some idea of our world, but really we do not have any names, or any places as such.